Accession number 9168, roll number 7.
Mr. Amat, reel 7.
Yes, one incident happened that's rather amusing. I remember when we were walking along the top of these trenches, I happened to be in the lead, and I was looking down the, what was our original reserve trenches, and I saw a party of Germans coming through the trench, and there was a in the lead was a little man with glasses. He looked like a Jewish type, and when he saw me, he although I wasn't armed or anything, just had my overcoat and uniform on, he scuttered back, and I heard him speaking in German to his friends, and that rather amused me, because I mean, they were the victors, not us. Anyway, one of the Germans who was escorting us shouted down to him, and he was rather altered him altogether. Anyway, I thought I'd like to record that. When we got to a road, along this road was a party of Uhlans. They were the cavalry, of German cavalry. And when we got, we were joined. This was a rallying point, apparently, for escorting the prisoners back. And there was hundreds of British prisoners in this on this road, from all county regiments and everybody I could remember in the army. Parties of each of them all been recently taken prisoner. You know, we were marched back by these Uhlans, and they were. They picked up some of our machine guns that had been discarded, and all sorts of military material, and we all had to carry these back with us. And I know the I was young and fit at the time, so I was glad that I was out of the war as far as it was, but I. The Germans told me to pick to take hold of a machine gun mounting, which was a part of the old Vickers machine gun, with a tripod, three legs on, and that weighed about 56 pounds, I remember. And he made me carry this back on my shoulder, and every time I tried to stop and throw it off, he'd give me a nudge with the rifle, butt of his rifle. So anyway, I had to carry on, but eventually I got it taken off by one of the other chaps, and we arrived at a place called Douai. This was a small French town, and we were placed in a what was a brickworks, had been a brickworks before the war. It was an area was surrounded by barbed wire, all marched in there. And because it was getting on towards afternoon then, and we were given some sauerkraut. There was some big boilers set up in this in a building in this brickworks, and with the Germans, and they'd boiled up this. It was only sort of pickled cabbage, with one or two bits of meat pushed into it. And we were given this, and that's all we had until the next morning. But when it came night time, it was still rather cold, being as at the end of March, 28th of March this was. That's the day I got captured. And we wandered round, or at least I did, and to try and find a best place to stay for the night. There was all these outbuildings and all that. There was only the ordinary floor to lie on. There's no blankets or anything like that. You just simply had what you stood up in. Anyway, I saw a large building near where they'd been cooking this meal, and there was a ramp leading up the side, all covered in. So I went up there, not thinking that perhaps upstairs or up in the loftier, it might be more comfortable and more sheltered for the night. Now, I got up there, and there's one or two other chaps I could see dimly, and the floor was very soft. And anyway, I settled down, and after I'd been through what I'd been, I was absolutely exhausted and tired, and I must have laid down and gone fast asleep. And anyway, there was a bit of noise below, I suppose, next morning, and when I woke up and got down this slope back to the ground level, I was wondering why several other chaps were looking at me and laughing. I was covered in soot. I've been in on the top of the oven, the brick oven, and spent the night there. We stopped there for about 5 or 6 days, and then parties of us were marched off to another place, another French town. Here we were, our particulars were taken, and we were in an area that had been used for building some new houses. I remember that because I went round the following morning and had a look round to see what we could find. Because as the Germans were very short of rations themselves, we didn't have much either. And I spent my 19th birthday, I think it was. No, it must have been 20th birthday, that's right, 1918, yeah. 20th birthday there. And just before I was taken prisoner, I had a small notebook in my pocket and I started a diary. And I've still got that now. And I made notes nearly every day whilst I was a prisoner of war of what happened and all the little incidents I could record. We were there several days, I say, spent my birthday there, and then a party of us were taken away. Well, we all split up, the whole camp was split up, and I was with a party that was sent to a little village some way. By the way, I'd like to go back a bit. When we were at Douai, when we were there, we were taken out during the time I was there every day and marched up towards the front and told to form a line and walk towards the front and picking up all salvage, all kinds of rifles, ammunition, equipment, and anything we can find and put them in a dump for the Germans to collect later on. where did I get?
You said that after Douai you went to another village.
That's right, oh yes. There we spent quite a happy time for a couple of months here. It was during the summer and it was a lovely summer. our job was to keep the village clean, and it was used as a staging place for German troops going in up to the line and coming out, and also like a dormitory. The village had been evacuated by the French, and the Germans had turned each room into the cottages into a dormitory, put bunk beds in there, and these bunk beds were filled with loose straw so that when the Germans came they had somewhere to sleep, more comfortable than laying on the ground. And our job was to keep these places clean and also to sweep the roads with some improvised brushes made from twigs out of the hedge, and generally do any job that was going. I remember whilst I was there, we didn't get much food, but we the work wasn't all that arduous. But there's one particular instance we were taken down to the siding where the trains, the goods trains used to come in and to unload the stores. One particular time, I remember, we were put to unload flour. Well, as we were almost starving, that was one of the things we'd like, because we began to fill our pockets with loose flour coming out of these bags. But what I was going to say was, whilst we were there, I was usually ambitious enough to push out on my own some. When I crossed between some trucks onto another siding to see what I could find, and one of the German sentries, which was farther away than the train was in the siding, saw me and shouted at me, and I stopped and looked round, and he came charging at me with his rifle and bayonet, and I really thought he was going to I was going to be bayoneted. Anyway, I was quick enough to turn sideways to him and avoid the blade that was coming forward, and as he went by, he tripped over my foot and fell on his face, and I couldn't help laughing afterwards, but at the time I was really terrified of what happened, and I soon scuttled away back under the trucks back to where the other people had been unloading the flour. And I turned my coat inside out and took my cap off and turned it inside out and smothered my face with flour and joined the other people so that in case he'd come by, he'd never recognise me again. Anyway, I got away with that, and but while I was there, as I was saying, it was a very pleasant time we spent, and sometimes we used to be taken to an office about a mile away through a country lane, and the people who used to guard us in those days was a corps of German sort of reserve, very similar to our territorial army. In those days, nearly all unfit people and people over age, oldish men, and they were nearly all of them belonged to the Saxon people, and well, they of course are very akin to the British, and whenever the Saxons were opposite us in the front line, we never used to exchange much action at all. Anyway, used to take us along, we used to gather blackberries and all that sort of thing along the hedge, and dig up potatoes in fields and fill our pockets with them for taking back. There's another thing I'd like to record is the fact that when I was taken prisoner, we had no equipment, therefore I had no shaving. Nobody had any shaving or towels or anything at all. All you had was what you stood up in. You didn't even have a spoon or a knife and fork or anything like that. And a lot of the men used their steel helmets for bowls to take to eat their soup in. But I managed to get hold of a tin which had contained preserved meat. It was a round tin, about 9 inches tall and about 4 inches across, and I made a couple of holes, one at either side, and put a piece of string across. That was my mess tin. When we were there, I was going to say, we had a tap in the yard where we used to wash, and they issued us with, everything in those days was artificial. The towels were made of paper, and the bandages in the hospitals were made of paper. It was all especially treated stuff. And half your clothes were also made of a paper and wool mixture. anyway, the Germans used to, every now and again, bring a pair of horse clippers, which in those days used to be used for clipping horses. It was a stand with a handle on the top, and there was a lead which was very similar to the wander leads that you get in a garage, which would take a drive through to a pair of clippers. And you used to sit on a bench, and a German would come up, one German would turn the handle, and the other one would come along with these clippers, which they used to clip horses with, and run all over your face and your head. And that's the only way we used to keep ourselves tidy. So you can just imagine what we looked like. No hair on our heads, no hair on our face either, just afterwards. And as we were off start, I expect we certainly looked it. But
were you able to wash?
Pardon?
Were you able to wash?
Oh yes, there was a tap in the yard. It's like a standpipe, and we used to take it in turns, and we'd we never had any soap as such. Okay, that was another artificial thing. I don't know what it was made of, but I believe there was a certain amount of caustic soda in it, and more like one of those abrasive things that you use for your hands. And yes, we were all able to do that sort of thing, and but we weren't issued with any clothes, any underclothes or anything like that. Well, all you have is what, because another thing I want to mention is the fact that whilst I was in the trenches, even in 1916, nearly all the troops were absolutely lousy, and at odd moments when we came out of the line, it was, you could often see people with their shirts off, going up the seams of their shirts and their trousers with a match or something like that, or some paraffin to kill these lice. And they got on your hair, and everybody was the same. And they used to have decontaminated centres in certain reserve areas where all your clothes was taken away, and you were given a bath, a shower bath, a hot shower bath, and these things were put into a kind of oven which raised the temperature, hoping to kill all the lice on them. Then they were disinfected with some sort of preparation, and they're antibacterial again. That's the only way we used to try and keep clean.
Were you decontaminated whilst you were a prisoner of war?
No, never. We're all left to our own devices. And I stopped at this place for several months, and then I was sent to, about August I think it was, to a large camp which was situated the side of a canal. This was had been a mill, I think, a factory building, three-storied brick building, and there was about 600 British prisoners there. And when the Germans took prisoners, they always segregated that. The officers were taken away and taken back into one area. The sergeants and senior NCOs were all taken away and put into another area. And all the lesser fry, the private soldiers, troops, and up to lance corporals, were kept in a separate area altogether. And this camp we went to, this large building, there was boards along the whole of each one of these big rooms, laid in a sloping condition, and that was our beds, nothing else, just the bare boards. And we were given a couple of blankets, but these were only made of paper, although they acted the part all right, because you were able to keep fairly warm with them. And there was nearly all the prisoner of war camps in those days, there was a senior NCO or a warrant officer, a British one, who acted as the go-between between the British troops and the Germans. And he was in charge, and whatever he said you had to do, he... And our chap was Company Sergeant Major from the East Yorkshire Regiment. And there was quite a number of dozens of East Yorkshire prisoners there with us. And there were several of the LRB with me there in this particular camp, besides other London regiments. And whilst we were there, we used to do all sorts of terrible jobs, like unloading barbed wire from a barge on the canal about 5 miles away we used to march. And during the time we were there, we were given 350 grams of black bread. That was our daily ration. And apart from that, all you had was sauerkraut and makeshift artificial coffee made by roasted barley, ground the same as coffee, and put in boiling water. And then sometimes you get a small cheese, like the Edam cheese that where they used to get from Holland, or you get one or two salted herrings from a large barrel. And I remember in those days when we had salted herrings after we come back from work about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, we never used to worry about take the heads off of the tub. We just used to chew them, the whole lot. There was no question of being fussy about taking tails off and heads off. I remember I ate mine and like that. The arrangements there were similar to where we were in this little village, just a couple of standpipes, and you all had to take your turn, and it was quite a rush in the morning with all those troops there, 4 or 5 million round each tap, trying to get some sort of a wash and clean up. Anyway, we used to... there was quite a lot of LRB, as I say there, and other London regiments, and quite a lot of these people in these local units, like the LRB, were very... people who come from very good homes, who'd been... mothered and fussed over, really not fitted to be the ardent life of a soldier in those days. So, and apart from that, I suppose, added to the fact that there was no newspapers. You never knew any news. You didn't know what was happening. You didn't know how long you're going to be there, or you were. Well, you simply began to lose spirit. I remember during the time I was at this place, there was several of the men died, and I used to volunteer to act as pallbearer, because it wasn't because I acted like that sort of thing, but I knew that if I got nominated for one of these jobs, the local French used to send a hearse into the camp, and but as there were no horses available because the Germans had accommodated all those, the men used to draw the hearse along with the coffin inside, and you got out of the camp and mixed with the French people at the cemetery, and there you had a chance of getting some bakshi rations or cigarettes. And that's the reason I used to volunteer, and I think about a dozen times I volunteered. And I was able to get out of the camp.
What were the men dying of?
People?
What were the men dying of?
Well, just broken hearts, like, or loss of spirit. They, some of them had contracted diarrhoea and that type of thing, dysentery, and that had lowered their morale still further. And the fact that there was no news, and the meagre rations we had, and the rigorous marches and work we had to do, I suppose it all added up to loss of spirit.
Was there any medical treatment available to you?
Well, there was a sick parade held every morning, but the MO used to attend there, but he didn't get much sympathy. There was nothing they could give you because their own nation, their own troops were devoid of any thing like that. That reminds me of the fact that on one camp I was in, we were alongside some British prisoners who had been taken prisoner the year before, and they had got clothes that were sent out through the Red Cross parcels used to come regularly to this camp, and each one of these men used to receive one of these parcels. It was weighed about 4 or 5 pounds, and in there was tea and sugar and chocolate and some biscuits that could be soaked and baked or heated up and made to taste like bread and all that sort of thing. And while I was there, they used to get tins of bully beef and tins of milk and all that. And I used to, it's amazing what depths you drop to when you're hungry. I used to go round with others as well and pick up these tins and scrape out the contents that were in them and all that. Anyway, I contacted a set of boils all down one side of my face. I remember there was 5 of them, and it was on the left-hand side of my face. And so I reported sick, and these, they were a nuisance, although they didn't hurt much, but there was all these 5 boils sticking out on one side. And you know, went to this, and the MO came along, and he said something to one of the orderlies, and he brought over a couple of bandages and a bowl of water, and this officer picked out a pair of scissors, and these were surgical scissors, I take it, and he stuck these pointed end in the bottom one of these bowls and simply cut right up one side of my face, and then told something to the order, and he swabbed my face and bandaged it all up, and that's the way I got cured of those 5 boils. Rather drastic, but I don't remember having any pain when he done that, which is rather unusual, I suppose. Anyway, we stayed at this large building near this canal. I remember over the August bank holiday, because we were down in the canal unloading timber, planks of timber, and being as we were so weak from our starvation diet, the Germans realised this, and instead of carrying 2 or 3 planks at a time, we only had to carry 1 or 2, and in a leisurely fashion, and dump it up the slope onto perhaps a railway truck or something like that. And another time,